I drive a truck. I've never owned a truck until this time. And the only reason I agreed to buy this truck is because it is the first truck that I know of that has a trunk. It has a trunk, and that has a truck bed, but that's worthless. Because when it rains, your stuff gets wet. Or someone can steal your stuff. Or you have to get one of these things to cover up your truck bed. You seen those? Then why have a truck? I need a trunk in my truck. Because I got stuff I need to keep in my truck, in my trunk. Right? We've all got trunks. And if we were to inspect your trunk today, what would we find? Maybe some things that would embarrass all of us. If your truck trunk or car trunk is neat and tidy and spacious with everything in its place, we hate you with the love of Jesus, right? There's more than in our lives, more than just our car trunk. There are trunks, spaces, places in our lives where we collect stuff over time. Not just good stuff, but damaged stuff, broken stuff, stuff that hurts us. And yet somehow we stuff this stuff in our trunk and carry it with us for thinking one day we'll make it right or get it clean or something. So this morning, what I want us to do as we continue on this journey is to learn how to jettison the stuff in the trunk, to basically uncomplicate our lives, to take out the stuff in our lives that causes us to hurry. The more complicated your life becomes, the faster you will go. The faster you go, the more damage you will do to your life. There is nothing that hurry doesn't damage. And there is no place worth going where a shortcut will close the gap between where you are and where you want to be. Now, as we introduce this whole concept of living in the here and now, living in the moment, not forth, lying in the coming true. There's a gap between each one of those in our lives. Hurry does not close that gap. Hurry makes that gap larger and more complicated, and our lives are ruined and damaged when we try to force our lives to go faster than they should. And one of the ways we do that is by complicating our lives. Now, I want to talk about simplifying your life. And I'm not talking about having less and lower standards and no dreams and all that. I'm not talking about living a boring, beige life. I'm just simply talking about standing back from our lives and understanding some simple truths about our lives that both make us more miserable or make us more like what God had in mind when He created us. Now, to do that, there are three statements I want to make and clear up about Christianity. I think that gets confused. Here's statement number one. Christianity is about complex issues, but it is not, I submit, a complicated system. Christianity is about basically one thing, our Creator redeeming His creation. Now, why He would redeem it, that is a complex issue, isn't it? For example, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is how God Almighty chose to open His book. And anyone as a writer knows that the hardest sentence in the whole book is the first sentence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Simple, true, complex idea, isn't it? A thing can be complex, but not necessarily complicated. We make it complicated by taking the complex and making it confusing. Have you ever left a church service or a lecture or something and heard someone say, "Boy, that was great. I didn't understand a word he said." Well, no, it's not great, really. It isn't. When a doctor comes and explains a complicated procedure in words you can understand, you've got the right doctor, right? It's like the Forrest Gump philosophy of life. You know, his mother, you have a way of explaining things so I can understand them. Christianity is about complex issues, but it is not complicated. Here's statement number two. Christianity is simple, but not simplistic. Jesus was profoundly simple, but he was not simplistic. For example, one example about the heart of our faith is an idea called prayer, right? There's a lot talked about in the scripture about praying. But pray, you can make a prayer, a simple thing called a prayer, but the answer of that thing is not simplistic, is it? I heard the example of a professor who, an atheistic professor, who on the first day of class to his freshman class loved to do what he always did, and that's challenge the simplistic faith of the freshman by sitting on top of his desk and making this proclamation: "If there is a God, come and knock me off this desk." This bold, you know, brash pronouncement of there is no God. He made it a second time. "There is a God. God, knock me off this desk." And with that, the back door burst open and a big left end defensive tackle off of the college team came running down the aisleway and took a big leap and hit the professor and knocked him off the desk. And the professor got his wits about him and said, "Young man, what do you think you're doing?" He said, "Well, God told me he was busy, and so he sent me." Wouldn't it be great if it were that simple, wouldn't it? "God, get all the people I don't like. Don't kill them, just make them bald." Or something. Prayer, simple idea, complex endeavor. Here's a third statement that you need to understand about Christianity that I think a lot of people don't understand, is that it is profoundly about cause and result relationships. Cause and result relationships. Whoever does not love does not know God. Now, that's a simple statement, isn't it? If you say, "I hate him," then you do not know God. Doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. You can be baptized enough times to be kin to a catfish. But you do not know God. "Yeah, but I was raised in a Baptist church." Well, you know what? That's no excuse. Right? So, you know, simple. Seriously. God says, if my love is in you, then you will love other people. And if there are people you can't love, then you don't know God. It's just that simple. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. You may not want to fix it, but it is the truth. There are an awful lot of religious people who are nothing more than people who are religious, bound up in those systems and rules that have absolutely no relationship to the love of God. And if you don't love, then you don't know God. And that is a cause and result relationship. Are you with me? God says, if you plant, you will reap. You will reap what you plant, not something else. So this is constantly taught to us through the scriptures. They are simple relationships that God wants us to understand. So here's what you need to understand. Christianity is about very complex issues, but it is not complicated. It takes very complex issues and sets them in simple frames of truth, though the application of that truth is not a simplistic idea, and there are some very predictable cause and result relationships that even though God may be mystery in many of the ways he acts, there are certain things we can absolutely count on to be true 100% of the time. The message of Christianity is never changing. The methods by which we understand it are ever changing. The need to connect to people is never changing. The ways in which we connect are ever changing. All right. Now, that having been said, let's talk about how to live a more complicated life. The more complicated your life, the faster you go, the more miserable you are. Are you with me? So here's three ways to complicate your life. I love the first one, the very best. You're going to love it too. You want to complicate your life and make you and everyone else who knows you miserable? You can stop right here. Let your emotions lead your life. That's all you got to do. Let your emotions lead your life. I mean, how many times have you heard someone say, or you said to yourself, I just can't take it anymore? Yes, you can. You can take it a lot more. But if your emotions lead you to believe that you can't, and you quit, and you quit, and you complicate your life, you complicate your life, you speed up your life, and the speed of your life make you miserable. Here's the deal. When your emotions run your life, your emotions will ruin your life. Say it with me. When my emotions run my life, my emotions will ruin my life, period. Simple truth, isn't it? And you know it's true. Why do we let our emotions lead our lives? I know God doesn't want me to be miserable. Yes, he does. He told me to tell you that. You know, God doesn't want me to be this unhappy. Sure, he does. There are major portions of your life. If you do the right thing, you're not going to feel have happy. If you do, you're dumb. Right? There are a lot of things when you do the right thing, you don't get the feeling. Right? You will never feel your way into doing the right thing. God created you in his image. What does that mean? You are a thinking, acting, feeling being. When you think the right way and act the right way, you'll get the right feeling eventually. It's like exercise, isn't it? Have you ever needed to exercise and you say, you know what, I'm so out of shape, I don't even get started. But then you do and you go and there's, I don't know, it's a month, it's two, I don't know, I guess it's different for everyone. But then you finally wake up one day and you say, oh, I got to exercise. No, you get up and say, I get to exercise. There's a transition that happens. But if you let your emotions run your life, they will ruin your life. Remember what the scriptures promise. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. I know a lot of people who have complicated lives, and they have justification for why they're this difficult. But they never had to be, because they lead by their emotion. I can't put up with this. Yes, you can. I can't love him. If you cannot love your husband, then you don't have the love of God in your heart. Maybe you need to love him better. Maybe it needs to work. For men, my wife just didn't meet my needs. Well, of course she doesn't, Bubba. She wasn't born to meet your needs. You were born to meet her needs. The only, I'll throw the Bible at you if you keep this up. The only thing the scriptures teach us is this, is that women are supposed to submit to the love of their husbands, the kind of love that Jesus had when he crawled up on a cross and died for the redemption of his church. I've never met a woman yet who has any trouble submitting to the sacrificial, ongoing love and compassion and tenderness of a good man. Maybe they exist. I've just not met them. I have more trouble with my wife when I don't love her the way I should than any other time. That's the truth. I can reposition it. I can say, you know what? She needs to love me, and she does. I need her desperately, but you understand what I'm saying, right? Let's get off that. You want to complicate your life? Assume what is common is normal. Boy, how many times have I heard this? Everyone's doing it. No, they're not. We were in an elevator this week with a family from, and I looked, and the girl, there was a guy, husband, I guess two girls, and one of the girls had on a Louisville Cardinals T-shirt. And I said, hey, you. I said, are you guys from Louisville? I said, oh, yeah, we're from Louisville. We're big Cardinal fans. And I said, you had a rough week with, you know, the revelation of Coach Pitino and other different stuff. And He said, yeah. He said, it don't bother me. Everybody does it. And I just, and here I am with Paula and my daughters and just trying to be a good testimony. I'm saying, you know, I did. I just kept my mouth shut. I didn't say one word. I said, no, no, they don't. Yeah, they do. Everybody does it. The president, the governor, and all the janitor, and everybody said, what? No, no, they don't. When we got down to the bottom, to the floor, and I just followed him out, kept just saying, no, 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 they don't, no. Just felt like God had called me to just take a stand right there. How dumb was that? That's dumb. Be imitators of God, therefore, our dearly beloved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. But among you, there must not even be the hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity. So just because other people, just because it's common, oh, everybody steals music. No, they don't. No, they don't. All kids just going to be kids. Shut up. All their buddies are doing it. Well, duh. I don't want to do what everyone else is doing. I want to do what God is blessing. Now, that makes me weird, so be it. I just happen to believe that how God designed us was for joy, not for misery. And we're the ones who complicate our lives by doing things and engaging in activity that may very well be common, but is not acceptable to God. If you cheat on your wife, you're wrong. Period. And you don't have to hop in bed with another woman to do it. Praise the Lord. Come on. What is the deal? We don't have to cheat on our wives. We don't have to lie about our contracts. We don't have to steal music. Have you ever heard of iTunes? It's 99 cents. If you can't afford 99 cents, you shouldn't be listening to music. Well, maybe that's a little strong. I don't know. But. Gee whiz. We just have this. I'm just sick of it. I don't know how you are. I'm just sick of people just saying, hey, you're justifying living this low standard of life that is complicating and compromising our lives. Just going, this is what everybody else does. Well, whatever. The goal is to just see how common we can be, isn't it? No, that's not the goal. Well, let's get off that too. All these things are convicting, aren't they? How about this one? Narrow this down. You want to complicate your life? Let your emotions lead you. You want to complicate your life? Assume what is common is normal. Here's another way. Confuse God's mercy for God's approval. Well, I've been doing this, I've been cheating, I've been stealing, I've been lying, I've had a woman on the side, I've been flirting, and nothing's happened to me. And I agree with everything you just said. I just want you to add one word to the end of that sentence. Thank you. Normally, I would complete my own sentence, but that you guys are right on. Add yet to it. Yet. I'm not caught yet. Why? Because God is giving you room to repent and change on your own, which would be called maturity, dare we say, right? Listen to this. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands everyone everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man, Jesus, he has approved. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead, which means Jesus is justified in sitting in judgment because he is our kinsman redeemer. So just because you know what? You haven't gotten caught doesn't mean God is extending. People say, God is extending me grace. Don't confuse the grace of God for the mercy of God. Mercy is God waiting, and withholding the consequences, not blessing your behavior. Are you with me? So you want to just complicate your life, speed it up, make it more difficult, more mass, more girth, more weight, more junk in the trunk, then let your emotions run your life. They will ruin your life. And just adopt the standards of everyone else and say, well, everyone else is doing it, so we might as well do it. I have to tell you, I just might as well say it. I would say shocked is not a good word. Angered is definitely not a good word. Brokenhearted is a better word. I am brokenhearted over the long-term marriages that I'm seeing breaking up right now. I mean, people married 35, 36, 30. You've been married over 30 years to the same woman. You can gut it out to death. Really? Come on. I mean, you know, you get married, you're 4 or 5 years. I understand. I mean, that's painful. It's difficult. You know, you move on, or even 10 years. People say, oh, we've been married 10 years. I just say, well, whoop-a-dee-doo. 10 years. Pfft, anybody can do 10 years. I'm just amazed. I mean, I've seen people 38. I saw a couple of other 38 years. Another couple 40 years. God, really? Really? I mean, come on. I mean, we are a culture in crisis when it comes to knowing how to build and maintain loving, long-term relationships. And I'm talking about Christianity. I'm not talking about anything outside that. I mean, you would think inside of the faith, we would be, I mean, you would think everyone would want to say, I just want to go to church because these people know how to love each other. There are a lot of people who aren't in church today who are listening to this online because they've been to church. They've had the you-know-what beat out of them. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Can I just say this? If anything can be true, shouldn't it be true that when we gather, whoever it is, we should know the love of God and the acceptance of His people? Amen? Period. Period. And I hope you don't hear me standing in, I'm not standing in judgment of you. I'm just trying to teach you the truth. I'm trying to live up to that standard myself. These are things I struggle with. These are ways that I'm tempted to complicate my own life. So now let's turn and talk about how do you simplify a complicated life? Again, a complex life does not have to be a complicated life. A simple life does not have to be a simplistic life. So here are three ways to live a simple, uncomplicated, I call it the KISS method. Keep it simple and sincere. Right? Here's the first one. Make truth your core value. I'm not into religion. I'm not into stuff that is superstitious. I'm not into things that we believed in the past. They don't relate to the future, to the present, and connect to the future. I want to know the truth. All right? Life is too short to live a lie. Wouldn't you agree? So what did Jesus say? Jesus said this. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you're my disciples. Number one. Number two, then if you are my disciples and you hold to my teaching is the truth, so you know the truth, and that truth will what? Set you free. Amen? Set you free. Jesus was a renegade who came to set people free on the basis of the revelation of truth. Sometimes truth hurts. But the kind of truth he came to give us are the truth that leads to liberty. A freedom. A freedom of knowing my Creator. Of living with my Creator, understanding the standards of our relationship with Him, what He wants, what He offers, what He promises, to understand the idea of redemption, to understand the idea of justification in my Savior, my resurrected Lord and Redeemer, Jesus Christ, to understand the concept we use in theological terms of sanctification, which simply means that after I've been converted to faith in Jesus Christ, it's the gap between where I am and where I'm going to be. And that gap is always closing as I'm maturing and becoming more like Christ in my daily lives, which simply means I'm not letting my emotions run and ruin my life. I don't look to the world and their acceptable moralities to set the ethical standard of my life. And I do not confuse God's mercy on my rebellion as God's blessing on my behavior. Okay, so truth. That's the first thing. Base your life on truth. Make truth your core value. I want to be rightly related to the truth. I'm a truth seeker. And so whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, if we have that in common, we can carry on a conversation. Because truth led me to Christ. Religion leads me to bondage. Christ leads me to freedom. So make truth your core value. Number two, make a few big promises, then keep them. You know, one of the things that complicates our life is saying yes to everything. You know why? Because if you don't have a sense of your own self-worth and identity, if you don't let Christ set your value, your significance, that His love be enough, when all other loves fail, and they will. If you are not enough in Christ, you will not have the courage to say no to a bunch of stuff people want you to do. And so a lot of us live our lives by saying, yes, 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 I'll do this and I'll do this. I've even had people look at me and say, I ask them, says, you don't love Him? No. How did you get married? He asked me. Really? You didn't have the courage to say that. You didn't want to hurt his feelings. You just want to marry him and make him miserable. That's one way to pay him back. Listen to this. Guard yourself. Where, God? In your spirit. Don't break faith with a wife of your youth. The Bible says, I hate divorced people. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's the old Dave coming out. It's bad Dave. That's what they told me in seminary. I hate divorce. You know what? I have never, and I've been doing this a very long time, I've never met a person yet who's been through divorce who says, oh, God says the greatest, most wonderful experience. Let's do it again. I've been through with people who it is painful and difficult. Two good people going through a hellish emotional experience beyond words, more pain than you can imagine. I hate a man's covering himself with violence, so as with his garments. So the Lord Almighty says, guard yourself in your spirit and don't break faith. One of my greatest achievements will be to be true to my marriage vows to my wife to the day I die. And until I do that, my life is always open for redefinition at any moment. Amen? And don't think you can't fall and I can't fall and any of us can't fall. We hear about people who in public fall and part of us say, yes. They may have money and they may have looks, but they're miserable. My joy is in your misery. Thank you, Lord. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh, dark depression, excessive misery. All right, we're starting again. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on y'all. Just make a few promises. Keep those promises. Right? Your life, there won't be that many big ones. Make them and keep them and say no to everything else. Find out what matters to you. Focus on that. Let everything else go by. Here's a third way to simplify your life. Define enough before more. Now, I'm going to say something really profound. God told me to tell you, and I'm going to prepare you to receive it. Have you ever seen something that just really blows your mind? You go, ooh, ah, right? Anybody? Okay. So let's practice. Ooh, ah. Oh, that's good. Let's divide it right down the middle here. This is the oohs and this is the ahs. Ready? All right, all together. Ooh. Ah. Okay. Now, after I say this, you're supposed to go. Better than that, I hope, but here it is. Here's what God told me to tell you. Here's the profundity of the moment. Here it goes. There will be more. Thank you, Grasshopper. You say, I already knew that. Well, why don't you act like it? There will be more. Why don't we act like this is all there is? We've got to grab everything we can everything we get, and spoil the can. Right? No. Listen to the warning of Scripture. Jesus said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So here's what we want to do. You want to simplify your life, define enough before more. Because here's what happens. We say, you know what, I'm not going to sit down and define. Maybe if you're in your 20s, maybe you've just been married, maybe early 30s or whatever, and you're just starting your life together. Define, how big is big enough when it comes to the house you live in? Now, I'm not telling you how to define. It's not my business to tell you. You know, for you, maybe it's a 2,000 square foot home, or a 4, or a 5, or a 10. I don't know. It's none of my business. But, you know, I'm just... We don't define how big a car is big enough. How new a car is enough. In other words, what is enough for you? When you're living at the level at which you really feel this is, you know, comfortable, good, blessed, whatever that is. But here's what we do. Enough is always a little more. Bigger house, bigger car, bigger budget, bigger vacation, nicer clothes, always to the right, always up. Can I tell you this? Life just isn't lived that way. You want to simplify your life? Define what enough is. And then once you've reached it, then you have all kind of options on what you do with more. What you do with your time, what you do with your talents, what you do with your interests, with your passions. You have options. But if you say, you know what, more is just, you know, enough is just what I can afford or finance after I've gotten the next raise or the next job or the next promotion, right? It's always more. People leave town. Where are you going? I'm going to X. Why? Because I got a job. Really? That's all? I just got a job. You can get a job anywhere. No, you can't. Yes, you can. No, you can't. Yes, you can. No, you can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. No, you can't. Yes, you can. There's work everywhere. You just got to know where to look for it. Right? 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 You say, well, I don't feel like it. When your emotions rule, your emotions ruin. So how do I simplify my life? Dear God, help me to understand what is the truth. Let me live on the simple truths of God. I don't need a deeper, have you ever heard people, I'm gonna need a deeper understanding of the Word of God. No, you don't. You need a deeper understanding of the simple truths of God. When you're doing those, call me back. When you're loving your neighbor as yourself, we'll follow you. God, what is the truth? What is the truth you want me to know here? What is the truth God's speaking to you this morning? Dear God, what are the promises that, where have I made promises and broken them? Where are the promises in my life that I've made? Those promises define me, but they're coming unraveled and unglued a little bit. And I need to go back and reinforce and realign those before they break. And dear God, what is enough? So I'm not constantly going after more and more, and I can make decisions now on the basis of more money or more this or more anything else. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning. We confess to you that we so easily break our lives on the choices that we make. The choices to complicate, the choices to compromise, just the flat out choices to sin, to just lower the standards of our lives by what everyone else is doing and what is acceptable. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for someone here this morning whose brokenness is hiding behind a smile. I pray in Jesus' name, someone who is here way down the road of a dishonest life and they've not been caught yet, but they would stop before the end comes and turn around. I pray for someone who's flirting with disaster, someone who's compromising what they know is true and right and blessable by you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will simplify our lives, that we will walk humbly before you and obediently before you. I pray, Father, that you will comfort the brokenhearted, that you will heal those of us, Father, who've been torn apart in our soul by the lies of others, what others have done to us. I pray in Jesus' name that these amazing men and women will know your peace, will know your comfort, will know your truth, will walk in the light as you give them the light. I lift them up to you now. I lift marriages up to you, Father, that you bring healing and bring the heart of these men back to their wives. I pray for children right now, for young girls whose hearts are broken for lack of love of their father or their mother. I pray for brothers and sisters who are estranged from each other. I pray in Jesus' name that you will bring healing in this place and healing to our relationships and healing to our land. And we make this plea in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.